Hello all, and welcome to the Lair of Lore episode, Who the Hell Cares Anymore? It's clearly not us. I am Steven.
And I'm Miriam.
And in our defense, we did actually record and even stream several podcasts during Amonkhet and Hour of Devastation. They just never went to MTGCast or our website, because nothing left Twitch, because the past couple of months have been insane.
Pretty much. Lots of changes. For everyone.
Just part of why this one is not a live podcast, almost explicitly, so that it will actually go on our website and
it's MTG just easier cast. This way.
Yes.
Also, it's just so, that so much easier.
We're not distracted by Twitch chat. And so that our post shows don't go on for hours.
Oh god, my poor ADHD brain.
Yeah.
I get so easily distracted. Hence the whole conversation about hand crowns.
Yeah, if you want to know more about that, listen to the extra bits. They're available on Patreon.
Miriam gets creepy.
We'll do the full spiel for that later.
But,
so, what are we talking about? To talk about Ixalan, because we are both insanely hyped for Ixalan.
It looks so cool. It really does. I'm looking forward to this so much.
Because basically, if you put dinosaurs in anything, I'm just, yes, give it to me, give me, and I can't help it. And the fact that they're actually, like, the right dinosaurs makes it even better, and also that they're in the colors that I like, basically not blue, and they're in Naya, just like, there is nothing I don't love about this. I'm going to have to buy that stupid Planeswalker deck, even though it's going to be absolute balls, because it has a Planeswalker that interacts with dinosaurs, even though she's way too expensive.
Oh, I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, the one I sent you.
You literally sent me that card, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
I mean, hopefully we'll see a better version of her, but the one that comes in the Planeswalker deck is just like, do you have dinosaurs? I do stuff with dinosaurs. Like,
behold, my dinosaur deck.
So we're both hopefully going to be going to a pre-release of this, and one of us is going to be looking at his sealed pool and then probably throwing all of the blue cards away.
There are pirates!
And trying to figure out how to make a dinosaur deck, because inevitably I'll only get, like, two of them.
Yeah, that's going to be kind of shitty.
Oh, yeah. Just as soon as it's like, I'm hyped for this, it's going to turn out like, no, you don't
get
any.
You're
going to
get all the cards you don't want.
Like, I was kind of looking, the same thing happened when I went to the, not Born of the Gods, what's the other one? The third Theros set. I went to the pre-release for that. It's just like, yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to this. It's just like, oh, well, we only have
blue. All the cards you don't want.
Well, that was also back when they were doing the kind of poor decision of you pick your color ahead of time. For, like, you get your six sealed packs and then an extra, like, colored pack, and it was just like, it was Born of the Gods, because it was basically, white was really good, so there were none, and by the time I got there, they're like, you should have pre-regged, because if you had, you could have chosen one, except white, because those all got used up at the midnight pre-release. It's like, well, I did pre-reg, you just didn't let me pick one. It was like, oh, well, you get blue. Like, do I have another choice?
Well, bugger
no.
That.
We
That's
only
stupid.
Have blue left. It's like, so.
That's so stupid.
Half of the pre-release that I went to for, I think it was Born of the Gods, it might have been Journey into Nyx. Like, half of my pre-release was all playing blue. So, thankfully, they don't do that anymore, so that won't be an issue. I'm happy.
I'm just excited because there are pirates.
I profoundly don't care about pirates. I know there's
I know
a pirate
you don't,
in the back.
Like, as silly as that sounds, I just. Like, I have this almost juvenile love of, like, the swashbuckly type.
Yeah,
and the idea of building this crazy pirate crew appeals to me.
If you look at the...
if you've met me at all, you can tell crazy pirate crews.
Please stop interrupting me for a second. If you are looking at the video, there is a pirate in the background. However, that's only because it's the only wallpaper they put out for Ixalan so far.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the weird one that I don't really care about the art for, if I'm completely honest. But, so... if you are not aware, Ixalan is coming out. It'll be out on the 23rd of September? It's the 20-something of September.
I think it's the combo 23-24.
I feel like that's what I read too. I'm just not 100% sure. So,
I'll look while you talk.
So yes, Ixalan is coming out. This is going to be the last? I think it's going to be... Ailey? This is going to be the last of the two block sets, is it? Or is there one more after it? Because I know... No, it's not. There's one more two block set after this. We just don't know what it is.
They haven't announced it yet.
Nothing. You're just being a little bit loud. And I can't actually tell if the levels are picking you up.
Pre-release September 23rd and 24th.
Oh, I was trying to think of when the real release was. So then I guess it would be...
29th.
That's not how days work. I guess it sort of is.
I don't know. Okay. I'm on the...
No. I just looked at it and was like, oh no, that is actually how days work.
Okay, I guess so.
Yeah. So, Ixalan is basically, we broke our good adventure plane, so we had to make a new one.
Yes.
So, yeah. We broke Zendikar and forgot what was good about Zendikar. So, here's Ixalan. So we basically took Zendikar and changed a bit, and now it's better.
Mm-hmm.
And it's our new D&D plane.
Pretty much, which I have no issue with.
Yeah, it's very good. So, the entire theme set is very, like, Mesoamerican inspired. We've got pirates. We've got the Aztecs in the Empire of the Sun, who are the folks with dinosaurs. We've got the merfolk, which are just sort of like generic non-Aztec Mesoamericans.
Yes.
And then we have vampire conquistadors.
Which, you know, I haven't seen any cards yet for it, but in the trailer I saw the art that you were talking about.
I mean, just any vampire wearing armor, you just look at it and go, that is certainly a conquistador.
I seriously hope you didn't just hear that click.
I did not.
Good. Oh, I could hear it. It was like, oh god.
Let's see if I can actually get the card image gallery to come up like a not a stupid thing.
If you send me the link of what you're doing, I'll pull mine up.
I mean, if I can find the freaking son of a man thing. Did you see our dumb new card?
Which one?
The new card with Jace on it.
I've seen Mind Mage. I've seen. Oh, are you talking? Oh, you're talking about the one that looks like the Harlequin romance novel.
No. I'm talking the dumb new one.
Oh no, I haven't. Hang on.
Where are you looking
for it?
It's just the front page article right now. The one about Ixalan promo stuff.
Oh yeah, that's the one I have.
It's just called. Let me see if I can. Dress. Can I add an image in from a URL? Can I? Damn it. No, I can't. Media source. That should work, yes.
Oh my god, they have double Winstons?
Oh no. God damn it, I meant browser source. Browser source. Aha, yes.
One Winston.
Okay, just need to
crop. Are you talking about Jace Gets Lost?
I'm talking about Castaway's Despair.
Oh, god, yeah, I saw that.
The one that's just like, oh, Jace is sad.
Oh, so poor Jace. So sad. So sad, so alone. Oh, it's where they're basically like, look at all the things that Jace is doing. Here's Jace.
No, it's just a bunch of... No, they're just showing things that are in the Jace Planeswalker deck.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, folks, watching the video while I desperately try and crop this quickly, but...
Oh, I'm looking for slightly further down where it's like, Jace gets lost. There's a whole section about that.
I mean, he also just lost a massive fight, so he deserves
it. Yep. Okay, you can be sad about that, but...
I'm sad that he's not dead.
Our Jace hate continues here at the Lair of Lore, where we think he's kind of the dumb.
I think he's an idiot. Just an absolute dingbat who did not deserve to survive that fight.
It's kind of a curious thing. Is that a Minotaur?
Maybe. I don't know
what you're referring to. I'm looking at the card packaging for the booster pack packaging, and it looks like there's a Minotaur of some sort. Second one.
Oh, yeah, that's totally a Minotaur.
Yeah. I was like, oh, cool, Minotaur.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to figure out what I was looking at.
The card image thing that I just created, I can't throw that packaging into because it's not going to fit the cropping, but...
Yeah, so it looks like on the card packaging, we have the Aztec warrior riding a dinosaur. A
dinosaur, they're very different.
Dinosaur. A minotaur.
Actually, that one we do have, I think. I think it's just Sunblessed Mount. Yeah, it's totally just Sunblessed Mount.
Some sort of a flaming golem.
Maybe it's not. I can't tell. Yeah, we've got some sort of minotaur, a flaming golem, a vampire conquistador, and what's her name? Why can't I remember her name?
Oh, we were talking about her. Hang on.
Vraska.
Yes.
See? Told you it works.
Pardon the angry shouting in the background.
Yep. We're making it work.
Let's see if I can figure out where the hell
Oh, God. Ends. I'm looking.
Where have you monsters put the freaking card image gallery?
I just scrolled back through a conversation we had a couple nights ago about it.
Oh, yeah, because...
It was silly.
Yeah, trying to explain why Vraska actually had no character. And
I was really tired, so I was like, yeah, Jace loves a bad girl.
It's like, no.
I was really tired.
She literally has no character.
Yeah, No, I was very, very tired when we were having this conversation. I'd come off of, like,
yeah. Don't worry traveling. If you're confused, if you feel like you're missing anything about Vraska. Her entire storyline the first time we saw her was pretty much, well... my own people imprisoned me because they're racist about
Gorgons.
Gorgons, because they used to be ruled by Gorgons, who were kind of monsters. They imprisoned me. I led a small rebellion and decided that not only attacking the Golgari, I'll just attack everyone. And the one time that Jace did his goddamn job as the Living Guild Pack was to deal with her. And then he never did it again.
Sigh.
We're really going to return to Ravnica, and it's just going to be a hellscape because all of the guilds have murdered each other.
Murderfy.
Okay, I found the card image gallery.
Ooh, link me, please?
Yes.
What?
First, I have to actually get to chat. There's chat.
Ooh, the Ragey Haley in the background.
Yes.
So much fun.
I actually can't tell how much you can hear, and by extension, how much... chat can hear, but
beautiful
listeners can
oh
hear.
My goodness.
But the other thing that makes me kind of stupidly happy, orcs are back. We have orcs. They're all pirates.
I love a pirate.
Good also God, apparently pirate. Vraska's pirate crew has some sort of atrocious habit of having their captain turn things into stone, and then it appears to
use
be
use it as a cannon.
Yeah, using those new stone heads as cannonballs, or hitting people with the new stone arms that just mysteriously appeared on board. Because apparently this is just a thing we do now.
Oh god, I am so digging this pirate stuff.
So, we don't actually have a ton of lore right now.
No.
I mean, there might actually be some story stuff that we haven't looked at yet, so we're just going to pretty much be going through the card image gallery and talk about any cards or art or story things that stand out to us. One thing that I do want to cover real quick, oh my god, the old Corset dual lands are back, and they're actually really sweet, and I like that they all got awesome new art. So when they started doing the M insert number here Corsets, with the big M10 rules change, they started printing pretty much every year up until like 2014, 2015 I think, these friendly dual lands that just tap for whatever the two allied colors are, and enters play untapped if you control an, like... The one that taps for blue and black enters untapped if you already control an island or a swamp, which is just pretty sweet. And we got all of them back, but with sweet new art.
Cool.
So far, I think my favorite might actually be Dragon Skull Summit, because it used to be just like a weird sort of volcano thing, and now it's that looked sort of like a dragon head, and now it's just like a massive mountain that looks like it has a dinosaur like upper body escaping from it. It's really sweet.
I know you like Dragon Skull Summit. Dragon Skull Summit. Wow, that's hard to say. I think the creepiness of Drowned Catacombs is really pretty.
Yeah, I like that both Drowned Catacombs and Glacial Fortress involve ships, but
they're so pretty. I mean, they both have blue, so I could see that happening.
I also just like that Rootbound Crag is just like. It's like a cliff surrounded by forests. Also, there's an angry T-Rex just screaming on it.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like Sun Petal Grove would be beautiful just to, like, have a picnic.
That's the only one where I'm just like, I kind of like the old one better.
This one is kind of like, okay, let me look up the old Sun Petal.
The old Sun Petal is basically just like this massive, humongous, like, multiple tree-sized flower blooming.
Oh, that is pretty.
Yeah. I like what they're doing with this one. I just think I like the other
2012,
one.
2012, right?
It was printed. They never changed the art for it up until now.
Okay, hang on.
It's always been the same.
Ooh, there's a full art. Ooh, background.
So.
The old one.
What
I like that. That looks really lovely. Okay, hang on. I have it zoomed in, so I have to, it takes a little longer to scroll.
Okay.
But,
let's see here. Are there any...
We've talked about this before, but for me, if you look at the faces on, which card is it?
I don't know.
Oh, hang on. We were talking about faces. We were having this conversation in the car on the way back from work.
Oh, yes.
Yes, Emperor's Vanguard.
Yeah.
Emperor's Vanguard.
Hang on. Let me put it on the thing.
Okay,
there we go.
I just want to shout out to the beautiful accuracy of the features of the warriors on Emperor's Vanguard.
Miriam, do you maybe want to read the card?
Oh, sorry. Emperor's Vanguard. I was having such an art owner over here.
Yes, I understand that. We can get back to that, but first,
okay.
The card.
I got this. We're good. Okay. Emperor's Vanguard. For one green and three generic, it is a 4/3 creature, a human scout. Whenever Emperor's Vanguard deals combat damage to a player, it explores. So you would reveal the top card of your library, put that card into your hand if it's a land. Otherwise, put a +1/+1 counter onto this creature, then put the card back or put it into your graveyard. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's and it really should be cool. said,
that is the mechanic for, or that's one of the mechanics for this set, is just explore. Yes. It is not bound to any specific group, but it probably will mostly be in green.
Mm-hmm. But back to my art boner really quick. The faces. The faces are so perfect.
There's only one face. The other dude's wearing a mask.
Sorry. I guess I should say specifically for this set.
Yes, they're very appropriate for the people they're actually trying to portray.
Yes. Also, that's cases. That metal scaling.
Yeah.
I guess I would call that almost a pauldron.
Sort of.
It's almost. Yeah. It's like that shoulder. It's like a shoulder guard, but it's not like a cap, like a pauldron tends to be.
I'm really willing to bet that it's basically just very large chainmail, effectively.
Mm-hmm. Like plates of metal stitched together to make. Oh my god, it makes sense. Scaling because scales, dinosaur scales. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. Like the effect on it is gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, so, I just had to have that art boner real quick.
Before I forget,
you know what? Overall, the cards are very vivid.
Yeah. Like before I forget though, there are going to be a lot of rares already spoiled because of a thing that we're just not going to talk about.
We're not going to give it the time of day.
Well, no. I mean, Wizards did a good thing. Yeah. Someone else did a really shit thing, and Wizards' response was basically to go, well, to mitigate that, here are all the things that shit thing could have ruined. But that means a lot of the rares are spoiled, so we can't do our normal thing of just like, well, let's talk about rares that we like. So we'll probably just talk about cards that we like. So let's start from white and work our way down.
Okay, you go first.
Well, the first thing I want to say is that I really, really enjoy the goofy style, not even goofy, the style that they're going after with vampires for this set. Because there are like major groups. We've got the pirates who are Grixis. We've got the Empire of the Sun who are Naya. We've got the merfolk who are Simic. And then we have the vampires, who are Orzhov, and are basically Christian conquistadors bringing civilization and some sort of religion to the savages of Ixalan, or this specific part of Ixalan, I guess.
Okay, so here's the question. Where did they come from?
I don't know. I mean, That much lore.
I know, but this is like one of those things that asks, that bears a question. So, well, okay, we're being conquistadors and move on.
Well, right now I'm showing the first of their sort of like, this is like the, it seems like the white ones are more of the bringing religion. The black ones are more of the bringing the, get under our boot. So this is Bishop of Rebirth. For 3 generic and 2 white, it's a vampire cleric, because that's a thing. 3/4 rare. Vigilance, whenever Bishop of Rebirth attacks, you may return target creature card with converted mana cost 3 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. In the death of the foe lies the resurrection of the faithful. So whatever the religion is apparently kill people and our undead vampires stay alive. Also somehow our undead vampires are white.
Yeah.
That
one's kind of weird, but I don't know. My thought is, like, with any conquistador, where'd you come from?
I mean, we don't have story yet, so we'll find out. Remember that we shouldn't have this many cards spoiled.
Yeah.
The other thing is that apparently they have some sort of, we'll go into this more when we get to cards that mention it more, but apparently they also have some sort of, like, religious blood fasting,
mm-hmm.
where it's just, like, mm-hmm. a mark of, I guess, pride, but probably not pride. That feels...
Piety?
Maybe piety? I think it's more of just like self-control, maybe, for how long you can go without drinking blood, and then they usually go completely nuts when something makes them snap and they drink a whole lot of blood.
There's a really good card that says something about it.
There's two, actually, because there's one in white and there's one in black, I believe.
Well, the white one is coming up.
Well, what white card would you like to talk about next?
So let me see. I mean, I want to kind of just jump to Maverin Fine Dusk Apostle.
Okay, so the other one.
Yeah, the other one. Because we're on that subject already. So for 2 generic and 1 white, this is a legendary creature, a vampire cleric. Whenever one or more non-token
vampire EDH.
That
is not a good idea. Don't listen to me.
Whenever one or more non-token vampires you control attack, create a 1/1 white vampire creature token with lifelink. Okay. In the rapture of his blood fast, he destroyed the navigator's tools and steered the ship to shore by faith alone. Okay.
I'm sane. Concerned that they're using rapture in the wrong word, in the wrong way there, but...
I'm gonna say immense hunger, going batty.
So I think that might be the answer to your question, is they don't know where they came from anymore.
Exactly.
Because this guy broke all of their navigational tools and steered them to shore by faith and desire for blood? I don't know.
Yeah.
Let's see here. So there are some dinosaurs, but I don't think that either of these are particularly impressive, so they're not things that I feel a need to talk about.
I mean, I know since you're super excited about the dinosaurs, they're really beautiful.
They are quite beautiful. I think we'll get to some real dinosaurs in a bit. But I was going to talk about the Priest of the Awakening Sun, because this is a priest of the Sun Empire. For 1 white, it is a 1/1 human cleric. It's rare. At the beginning of your upkeep, you may reveal a dinosaur card from your hand. If you do, gain 2 life. For 3 generic and 2 white, sacrifice Priest of the Awakening Sun, search your library for a dinosaur card, reveal it, put it into your hand, then shuffle your library. So, dinosaur tribal is actually going to be a thing!
Yeah, apparently.
Look, someone thought that vehicles were not going to be a good thing, and I was just like, no, I bet vehicles will be a thing. I was doing it entirely out of joviality because I wanted something stupid like vehicles to be a deck, and they actually were. So I'm calling it now. I hope Dinosaur Tribal is a legitimate deck, because if it is, I will actually play Standard.
Okay. I still think it's
gonna I'm going to regret really saying this, but
cool.
I stand by it. If Dinosaur Tribal is a deck, I will play Standard.
Okay. I let this be put on record, as it is on record via audio.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and video. Do you have any other white cards you want to talk about?
Sorry. Just a bit of storyline. There's Tocatli Honor Guard, which is, cards go, it's kind of a human soldier. So for 1 generic, 1 white, it's a 1/3 human soldier. I guess their ability is cool. Creatures entering
Miriam, that ability is a, game-breaking ability.
I didn't see that until, so I take back my, creature soldier.
Sorry, really quickly.
I read it and I'm like, oh no, wait.
You read a creature and went, 1/3 for 2 mana, and it's a rare. That tracks. Just no ability. Just that's fine. That's perfectly fine. 1/3 for 2 rare.
Fine. Let me read the bloody card first, so you can see why this is a cool card. Creatures entering the battlefield don't cause abilities to trigger. Okay, cool. The glorious city of Pachatupa is the center of the Sun Empire, and the Tocatli Emperor's palace is his glowing heart. There, some story of this empire. But doesn't cause abilities to trigger. That's really cool.
This card is going to see play in every, legal
format. You better get that
format.
Out early.
This is going to see play in every legal format that exists.
Oh my god.
Before I forget, this is the other thing that I realized. The Sun Empire is just literally Dinotopia.
Okay, was the yelling on your end or on my end?
That was on your end. That was terrifying.
That was very much a,
Yeah.
I don't know what that was.
But look, they're literally Dinotopia. It makes me so happy.
I know it does. I never read the Dinotopia books, so...
I read everyone.
I never read the Dinotopia books. I read the giant illustrated guide to Dinotopia, but I never read the Dinotopia books.
I also spent way too long trying to figure out ways to watch the Dinotopia miniseries that got turned into multiple miniseries because they were impossible to watch.
How I felt about trying to find the Redwall miniseries.
They aired them once and then never again, so they were super fun to find, but still, this is my jam. I love this so much. So I think it bears mentioning that it looks like we've got 2 different kinds of merfolks. We've got the mono blue ones who tend to be sort of normal. And then we've got mono green merfolk who look kind of similar, but tend to be really armored and appear to be their ones who use more magic. But even between
the two. Which one are you looking at?
I'm just looking in general, because I know we were about to head into blue, because we've basically gone through white.
I mean, I've scrolled down to green. I don't really see...
Well, that's just it, though. If you look
No, I see what you mean, because in the woods,
they don't
also...
look like merfolk.
Yeah, that's because I'm like, oh, these don't look aquatic whatsoever.
Yeah,
because
they're wearing a whole ton of armor, because apparently on Ixalan, the merfolk control the forests and the rivers. They do not actively appear to control the seas. They do seem to control coasts, though, like coastlines.
Yeah.
But not, like, deep seas. So, any, well, you got the honor guards. Let's see. Are there any blue cards that stand out to me? I'm gonna grab one, because it's Raymond Swanlin art, and that will cover many sins, like
I'm
being
scrolling
blue.
I need to find this.
Ooh, I mean, it's Raymond Swanlin art. It stands out a lot.
As soon as you mention it, I'm like, oh, I think I know which card I'm looking at.
River's Rebuke. It's also a story card, apparently. For 4 generic and 2 blue, it is a rare sorcery. Return all non-land permanents target player controls to their owner's hand. Okay, that's
like a giant wave just came across the board and went swish.
See all these creatures and artifacts and enchantments and planeswalkers? Bye-bye. They go away now. Carefully following the thematic compass, Bolas would get what? What? Wait, why is Bolas involved in this too? God damn it. I get that he just won, but do we have to have him involved in every storyline again?
Apparently.
Okay, we don't have context. Maybe the context is better. Carefully following the thematic compass Bolas had given her, Fresca blundered straight into the River Herald's trap.
I'm gonna guess the dude to the left is the River Herald.
I think that's, like, a tribe name. Or the name of the, merfolk group.
Maybe? Probably?
Miriam, the apostrophe is after the S, so it is not an individual.
Sorry, I'm looking at the arts between the two.
Yeah, I'm reading the text, and it's River Herald's. It's a title of a group.
Okay.
I'm willing to bet that's just the name of the merfolk. In the same way that apparently the vampires... Oh god, what'd they say? I thought they had a name for their religion. Nope, they didn't. I thought it was something about dusk, actually. But nope, never mind. I think we'll figure out those names as it goes. But yeah, this is definitely River Heralds, which is, for some reason, very difficult for me to say. Appears to be the name of at least one of the merfolk groups, if not their overarching name.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty sweet. Also, it's Raymond Swanlin art, and somehow he makes water look threatening.
Spiky.
Yeah.
Tentacly.
Yeah, that's the other thing, is somehow you have managed to make water look pointy. I don't know how you've managed it, Swanlin, but...
Yeah, that's like how I would describe it, is it looks tentacly and spiky at the same time.
I was gonna go for pointy, because tentacly has bad
connotations. It's something about the curves of it that makes me think tentacles, but then it's like spiny.
I mean, I'm agreeing, but at the same time, I'm just not choosing to use the word tentacle because of connotations. So, are there any blue cards that are standing out to you?
Not really.
I mean, I can see one who might stand out just for creature types.
I mean, there's a siren.
That's the one I was talking about, if you want to get that
one. Like the siren pirate. I saw that and I'm like, ooh, siren pirate. Awesome.
But apparently the sirens on this plane are sentient enough to be pirates. The last time we were on a plane, they were like crazy, evil, screaming women.
Did you see anything else with flying? Because I haven't seen... dinosaurs. They're flying dinosaurs. There we go.
Which aren't dinosaurs, but whatever.
Anyways.
I'm sure there will be more, though.
So the Dreamcaller Siren, for 2 generic and 2 blue, is a 3/3 creature, Siren Pirate, with flash and flying. Dreamcaller Siren can block only creatures with flying. When Dreamcaller Siren enters the battlefield, if you control another pirate, cap up to 2 target non-land permanents.
Oh god, they're doing pirate tribal the same way that they do in Hearthstone. No!
The pirates!
Well, no. In Hearthstone, pirate tribal is a legitimate deck, and the problem is that it's basically just all of the pirates react to, do you have a pirate already? And if they do, they do something powerful. And the issue is that the pirate deck is one of those awful sort of, well, it's not so much anymore, but it was one of those awful, like, cancer decks that just everyone ends up playing because it's aggro, so your games are win or lose are over in like 10 minutes max.
Okay.
So, god, they're doing Hearthstone Pirate Tribal. The one thing that I want to point out is that between Daring Saboteur and there's another one whose name I don't remember, and the trailer and such, it looks like this plane has at least cannons and crossbows, which seems like advanced tech for magic. I mean, there was that one set with guns, but no one remembers that because it was dumb.
I can't quite see. I wish I could get a better look at Dreamcaller Siren, because I can't. I don't know. I think that just might be a health. Never mind. Not an actual, like,
I think she's just wearing a shirt.
No, I'm talking about the, like, the back of Dreamcaller Siren on, I guess, what would be my left hip. Am I looking at the left?
Yeah, she's just wearing, hip? Like, a cloak.
No, it's not that. I'm looking, I think that, I can't tell if that's a buckle or a hilt of something.
I think she's, just I think that buckle? Is pants. Okay. Oh, no, yeah, that might be just, like, a hilt of a dagger or something.
It's, that's what I'm trying to figure out, because I don't think it's wide enough to be a pistol hilt.
No, it's
or
not.
Or a pistol handle.
No, that's the thing I'm saying, is that it looks like Daring Saboteur has a crossbow, and there's someone whose art is not in, there's a card whose art is not in the image gallery yet, and I don't know
and
what
like,
it's
weirdly,
called.
Weirdly, like, if you look at the, like, grappling gauntlet thing.
Yeah, no, I think that's just a crossbow. I think it's just a crossbow that she is holding on to. Really quickly, Daring Saboteur, one generic and a blue, is a 2-1 human pirate for 2 and a blue. Daring Saboteur can't be blocked this turn, and whenever Daring Saboteur deals combat damage to a player, you may draw a card. If you do, discard a card. Jesus, what the hell did you just do?
Turned on some light.
It was very bright.
Sorry. Is this any better?
Yes.
Okay. Because I'm sitting in my living room, which means skylight, which means natural light, which means great during the rest of the day, but when we actually report it, sucky.
Two or three too many, which means.
Anyways.
It was like a run-on sentence that lasted almost 2 minutes.
That did not last almost 2 minutes.
It was a run-on sentence that lasted way longer than it should have.
It was a run-on sentence. Gonna die.
Well. Unless you've got another blue, I think that means moving on to...
I mean, just to say the merfolk design is interesting.
I mean, it is.
Like,
I
think definitely have the whole, like, tropical fish brightness to them. But...
They do, actually. Let me pull up... I'm gonna pull up the legendary one, just because I might as well. Just to show that off, if you want to read him.
Yeah, are you... Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're talking about Herald of the Secret Streams?
No, this legendary one.
Yeah.
One down to the left.
Oh, yep, I see it. Yeah. Paula, Warden of the Waves. Is it up?
Yeah.
Because I can't see the display. Okay, so Kapala, Warden of the Waves. For one generic and two blue, they are a legendary merfolk creature for 2/2. So spells your opponents cast that target a merfolk you control cost 2 more to cast.
Okay, that's not bad.
Abilities your opponents activate that target a merfolk you control cost 2 more to activate. So,
okay,
yeah.
If this doesn't get played in fish, I will be very surprised.
Yeah. I know these waters better than you know yourselves.
I think it's safe to assume that that is a man, because every creature in Magic that has females and is sentient has breasts, and that does not have breasts covered, so I think it's pretty safe to assume that's a man.
I think the one to the right and behind Kapala might be female.
Maybe, but it's very tiny art and hard to see.
Yeah. I'm guessing.
But yeah, I will be very surprised if this doesn't actually see legitimate play in Legacy.
Yeah.
Because fish, for some reason, is a deck. Well, then I am going to grab... Okay, I'm going to call one out really quick because I think the name is amazing, but I don't want to pull it up because I want to show Blood-Crazed Paladin. I'm just going to say Boneyard Parley is the best name ever. And I don't think the art does the name justice.
No, it really doesn't.
There we go. So, we have got Blood-Crazed Paladin for one generic and a black. He's a rare creature vampire knight. He's a 1/1 for 2, so obviously that makes perfect sense by what we're going off of now, since a 1/3 is totally worth 2. He's got Flash, and when Blood-Crazed Paladin enters the battlefield with a... Sorry, Blood-Crazed Paladin enters the battlefield with a +1/+1 counter on it for each creature that died this turn. So just end of combat, end of the turn, Scufflash, whatever you need him to be, just a bunch of things just died. Blood-Crazed Paladin, he drinks all of their blood? When a paladin...
Oh, look, a free meal.
What?
I said, oh look, dinner.
Oh, yeah. When That's a paladin undertaking the blood fast finally gives in to the hunger, the violence is sudden, explosive, and complete. I like to just end complete. He's surrounded by dead merfolk. Like, he threw away his helmet so that he could just drink more blood.
I'm counting three.
There are at least three, I think, maybe four. It's hard to tell.
Yeah. Just based on where those legs are positioned, I think that might be four in the back.
Yeah. Still, what the hell? What the hell?
She looks pretty crazy.
Yeah. Any other black herds that you would like to talk about?
I think this is kind of a silly card, but Revel in Riches.
Okay, hang on, give me a second.
Okay, in my mind, it's like, okay, so Revel in Riches, or four generic and a black, it's an enchantment. Whenever a creature an opponent controls dies, create a colorless treasure artifact with the tap. Sacrifice this artifact. Add one mana of any color to your mana pool. At the beginning of your upkeep, if you control 10 or more treasures, you win.
Oh god, it's a dumb win condition card. I didn't even realize that initially. I love that they keep printing more of these stupid alternate win condition cards.
It's kind of fun.
I mean, especially when we've got other cards that I don't think are... Yeah, they're not in the card image gallery yet, which is really dumb, because they were the first ones really revealed that create treasure counters, because there are transform cards in Ixalan. And the one that they've shown us thus far is... a map that creates a bunch of treasure because it's a treasure map and then takes you to Treasure Cove.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, I feel like this might be a legitimately possible win condition. The only issue is that because it's during your upkeep, you need to somehow find a way to get a bunch of treasure on your opponent's turn.
Yeah.
Or get a bunch of treasure and then flash this in, but that seems harder. Eh. I guess because it's a story spot like her, we should also probably talk about Vraska's Contempt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Vraska's Contempt for two generic and a black. Instant. Rare, because they're all rares, face it. Exile target creature or planeswalker, you gain two life. That actually seems relatively fair. It wasn't long before the taverns of the High and Dry were full of whispers about the new captain who could turn a person to stone with a glance.
Dun, dun, dun.
So I guess
she's new.
High and Dry is a play is like some sort of gathering place for the pirates.
I'm gonna guess like a harbor.
That's what I would assume too.
Those taverns.
Well, I would assume if it's called High and Dry, I would assume that it's probably like a harbor, and it's actually just like cliffs or something above a harbor.
Yeah.
That
like I'm thinking like a piratey cove kind of place.
I assume that it's probably set up such that pirates can't just immediately go, oh god, yeah, I can't pay my bar tab, and run out onto their ship. There's probably like a distinct difference distance.
Maybe like a really rocky, gnarly cove, but it's like you have to work to get in.
Yeah.
You try to sail in, you ruin your boat, or you wreck your ship.
Or, I would assume, no. I think it's more of just, like, the High and Dry area itself is probably just distinct from the harbor so that you can't just easily run away without paying debts and get on the ship that you need to get there.
Fair enough.
That's not right. Miriam, I'm picking your next one.
Okay.
I mean, unless you have something in black.
No.
Talk about what the damn legendary pirate in red.
Captain Lannery Storm?
Yeah.
Yes!
Look, I don't know what you were expecting. I was going to say.
So, for two generic and a red, you summon Captain Lannery Storm, a legendary creature, human pirate, who is a 2/2. With haste, whenever Captain Lannery Storm attacks, create a colorless treasure artifact token with tap. Sacrifice this artifact. Add one mana of any color to your mana pool. Whenever you sacrifice a treasure, Captain Lannery Storm gives +1/+0 until the end of turn. Cool.
Yeah.
I
feel like she's just legendary for the sake of... I mean, we should have some legendary pirates, which I'm okay with. I'm just...
You have to admit, that is a very, like, swashbuckly face.
That is a very enthusiastic person. That's what I'm going to say.
I like her.
Meanwhile, I know what I'm going to talk about.
Go ahead.
Do you know what I'm going to talk about?
I'm guessing, but I want to see if I'm right.
Burning Sun's Avatar!
Yes.
So for 3 generic and 3 red, is a creature dinosaur avatar. There's a lot of these, although again, not that many of them are in the current image gallery yet. So for 6, he's a 6/6. That sort of tracks. I mean, he's hard to cast, but gotta get something for it, right? Mm-hmm. When Burning Sun's Avatar enters the battlefield, it deals 3 damage to target opponent and 3 damage up to 1 target creature. Yes. And hang on, let me see if I can read this tiny, tiny flavor text. Tilalani's searing rays carry the spark of life's eventual destruction as all light fades. I can't pronounce any of these names.
Chilati, Lightning Rider.
Lightning Rider, yeah.
Yeah.
Just, I have to think about any of these names that I try and pronounce.
Yeah. So there's consonants in places that we wouldn't expect.
I think our next two are also picked for us.
Are you talking about like
Tilinali? No, I was going to say the next one after Lannery Storm.
Oh, you mean the Rowdy Crew?
Yeah, because we now have two mythics that are related to our favorite tribes.
Oh, so let's see, Rowdy Crew for two generic and two red. Creature is going to be Human Pirate for 3/3. With Trample. When Rowdy Crew enters the battlefield, draw three cards, then discard two cards at random. Two cards that share a card.
Why does it have to be at random? It's so good if it's not at random.
I know. If two cards that share a card type are discarded this way, put +1/+1 counters on Rowdy Crew.
This is 100% mythic rare because it is dumb and will not work out well for you.
It's silly and crazy, and I don't get it.
This is basically an uncard with too high a mana cost, so they made it a mythic, so you didn't have to deal with it in draft that much.
Yeah.
Like, best case, yay, I got a free card and a 5/5 for... Or no, sorry, I drew three cards, discarded two at random, and got a 5/5 for 4. That is not bad, but it's not great. No. Meanwhile, you could get a 3/3 with Trample, which isn't that great on a 3/3. For 4, and mow through 3 cards in your deck, and then discard the only 2 that you actually needed, but... It's not great, but it's not...
It could have done so much cooler stuff with pirates. Damn it.
meanwhile...
No!
I get the,
my dream of a crazy pirate deck is slowly fading.
Miriam... Because of one deck like that you can never open?
I'm not sure if I've seen anything that makes me think, pirate deck, pirate deck, pirate deck.
All we have seen is rares.
Yeah.
To have any sort of synergy, they need to exist at common.
Yeah.
Okay. Meanwhile, right. I've got the other, now I don't feel so good about playing dinosaurs version of buying. So for 5 generic and 2 red, a mythic sorcery. One of the wonderful 7-cost sorceries. It's not quite one of the... What on earth could you possibly do with this 8-cost ones? But it's pretty close. Destroy target land. But then it has the second clause. Star of Extinction deals 20 damage to each creature and each planeswalker. The visions haunt me. I see the end of the world, brought on by the search for the immortal sun. Shaper Pashona, which apparently involves... just a meteor falling from the sky and wiping out the Sun Empire and all of the dinosaurs.
Aww.
Yeah. I mean, this is very powerful. This is very powerful, and actually, that seems kind of low-costed for the effect it produces.
I was gonna say, if you can get that out...
Like, I think there was a card in... Sorry.
How could you even,
Well, I think there was a card in... what's it... one of the original Innistrad sets that says deal 13 damage to every creature, but I think it also got cheaper. I think it was called Blasphemous Act. I believe it got cheaper for something, but I don't remember what made it cheaper. The other thing to remember here is this also affects your creatures and your planeswalkers.
It's a board wipe.
It is definitely a board wipe. It's just a very expensive one because it has land destruction thrown in.
How badly do you need to be doing to do this?
If it's a board wipe, then plenty of people are going to be willing to play it. And if there's a Super Friends deck, then this would probably be kind of tech against it if you could get far enough.
Mm-hmm.
Super Friends decks are basically just decks where people are playing a ton of planeswalkers.
Mm-hmm.
So, this would help remove planeswalkers.
Well, there
a
you
lot
go.
Of them at once. So, unless you want to talk about any of these other two in red, I think we're just going to move on to green, right?
Meh.
Yeah. Anything in green jump out at you?
We talked about Emperor's Vanguard. Let's see. Sorry, I'm skimming as I'm... I almost wonder if Verdant Sun's avatar is a little, underpowered? Just a little bit?
Well,
for 7? I guess that makes sense. Verdant Sun's avatar, 5 generic, 2 green, 5/5 creature dinosaur avatar... Whenever Verdant Sun's avatar or another creature enters the battlefield under your control... Oh, actually, no, never mind. You gain life equal to that creature's toughness.
Did you read useful. That as just, when Verdant Sun's avatar enters the battlefield, you gain life equal to its toughness?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, if it just did that, that would be sort of That's very specific, but not that great.
Yeah.
But
yeah, whereas this is much cooler.
With that second bit there, it's very important.
Yeah, or another creature.
Yeah.
So like, hey, it's like, let the sun shine, soak all the sun, get like, strong.
Maybe if you were to play my next card.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, if you were maybe to play the Carnage Tyrant for 4 generic and 2 green. It's a rare mythic, it's a mythic rare dinosaur.
Oh my Jesus, okay.
It's a 7-6 for, it's a 7-6 for 6. It's gotta have a downside, right? Right? No, wait, this is an old magic, it's probably got an upside. It does! It can't be countered. Screw you, blue. It also gets trample, because you ain't chump blocking that thing. Look, it's eating chump blockers in its art. It's throwing a bunch of dudes around just for fun.
Oh,
and
God.
As an additional, screw you, blue, and also red and black and white sometimes, it has hexproof.
It's hexproof. My God.
Sun Empire commanders are well versed in advanced martial strategy. Still, the correct maneuver is usually to deploy the giant implacable death lizard. Yes!
That is beautiful.
Oh my God.
That is so great.
I did not read that flavor text ahead of time.
The giant implacable death lizard. It's like...
Sorry, hang on. I need to try and read this one more time. Straight through.
Please do.
Sun Empire commanders are well-versed in advanced martial strategy. Sorry, I tried to read that as military. Are well-versed in advanced martial strategy.
You got this.
Still, the correct maneuver is usually to deploy the giant implacable death lizard.
I feel like you could have put more emphasis on death lizard.
I feel like that's going to be the name of this episode. It's just...
Implacable death lizard?
Deploy the giant implacable death lizard, yes.
Yeah!
Yeah, that has to be the name of this episode.
Okay, I'm going to write that down.
Okay. Well, are there any other green cards that you want to talk about?
Hang on. Lord the Implacable.
Well, while she does that, I'm just going to pull up two of the merfolks, because...
That's the new name of a band, Implacable Death Lizards.
I'm just going to show the merfolk real quick, just to show the difference. Like, that's a merfolk.
Oh, okay. The Old Growth Dryads and Shaper's Sanctuary?
What?
Like, the Creatures and Shaper's Sanctuary?
Those are dryads.
No. I'm looking at Shaper Sanctuary, the creatures in Shaper Sanctuary.
I have no idea what those are. Maybe. I was just grabbing the one next to the Carnage Tyrant, the Deep Root Champion, and
yes.
The other one that we know is a Merfolk, the Waker of the Wilds.
Yeah, the Merfolk Shaman.
Just looking at them, where they've got this strange, I would almost assume it's like jade armor. You can see it better in the Waker of the Wilds, but they've got some sort of like, armor. They're clearly not really dealing with water so much anymore. They're out in the forests doing stuff. It's just nice. They seem to very much be the elves.
It is indeed jade. Just because I was really curious to see if that was something that actually cropped up in Mesoamerican artwork. It's jade. It's actually jade. Like, chunks of jade.
I don't know if it's really jade, just because jade isn't always a great protective item.
Based on the artwork, it looks like...
Yeah, and I think it may be
jade or
armor
jade.
That is supposed to look like jade, but I'd be surprised if it's actually jade. Like, if they're just trying to make it look like jade because that's some sort of significance to them. But any cards that you specifically want to call out?
I mean, I like the better... close-up of Waker of the Wilds, but like, Implacable Death Lizard, come on.
I mean, do you want to read the card for Waker of the Wilds?
Waker of the Wilds, for 2 generic and 2 green, is a Merfolk Shaman, for 3-3, for X and 2 green, put X +1/+1 counters on target land you control. That land becomes a 0/0 elemental creature with haste. It's still a land.
Oh, so it's basically just awaken target land.
Pretty much.
X. Okay. Meanwhile, mine I picked entirely because, one, it's another dinosaur, and because it has wonderful flavor text. Ripjaw Raptor! 2 generic and 2 green. It is a creature dinosaur. It's a 4/5 for 4. Heck yes. With Enrage. This is apparently a very specifically dinosaur mechanic, which is whenever the creature is dealt damage, do a thing! In this case, whenever Ripjaw Raptor is dealt damage, draw a card. Raptors are clever enough to tear away a hard metal shell to get at the tasty morsel inside. In this case, a vampire. A sad vampire conquistador who hopefully is already dead.
I mean, that color says dead.
Well, he's a vampire, so he's that color to start with.
Purple?
Yeah. Like, that's what color the Bloodcrazed Paladin is.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's sort of like a gray, a very, very gray purple, but yeah.
Yeah.
They're definitely corpse colored.
He's like lilac, is that what I would call him.
Miriam, I think you should take the pirate.
Oh, Admiral Beckett Brass.
Yes, that one.
For a generic, a blue, a black, and a red.
Basically, a legendary Grixis.
Yes. Human pirate for 3/3. Other pirates you control get +1/+1. At the beginning of your end step, gain control of target non-land permanent controlled by a player who was dealt combat damage by 3 or more pirates this turn. Wow.
So basically, this is your commander for pirate decks, and all that your deck apparently does is, okay, quick, hit them a bit.
No, no, no.
That's mine now.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
You and your ship will make a fine addition to my fleet. She's obviously an old pirate, so she's lived some.
That does seem like a pretty sweet commander, though.
I mean, we didn't like her art as, like, this is the only background that you have.
Yeah, it's just, why is this the only wallpaper that you have out now, guys?
There's so much
you have cards stuff. Like this! Gishtarth, Sun's Avatar.
Gishath.
Why did I added
Gishtarth. You called her, you called this Gishtarth.
I said Gishtarth because I added in an R, so it's
okay.
Gishtoth. It ends with a T-H, it's Toth.
Gishath. There's no other T.
I'm adding an extra T, yes, sorry.
You're adding extra letters.
Look, this is not a good word. This is not a word that makes any sense in the English language.
Gishath, Sun's Avatar.
Sun's Avatar for 5 generic and 1 red, green, white. It's Anaya. Legendary creature, Dinosaur Avatar. It's a 7/6 with Trample, Vigilance, and Haste. Sold. You already have me sold. Just come down, immediately hit someone in the face. Your jump blockers do nothing, also I can still block.
Imagine if you had this, and what's its face? The, oh, where did you go? The Carnage Tyrant.
Well, whenever Gishath, Sun's Avatar, deals combat damage to a player, reveal that many cards from the top of your library, put any number of dinosaur creature cards from among them, onto the battlefield.
It's like, hit something, summon more dinosaurs.
Hit something, go, oh look, a Carnage Tyrant. He's also here now.
And it doesn't look like you have to...
No, you don't. That's why...
You don't.
If you had to pay for it, this wouldn't be good.
No, it's like, oh look, I happen to have a Carnage Tyrant. Come and join me, friend. We're gonna eat our fill on the battlefield.
Look, provided I get one free dinosaur out of this,
yeah.
I'm sold.
Yeah.
Onto the battlefield, and the rest onto the bottom of your library in a random order. Yeah, no, I am building a dinosaur commander deck. I don't care anymore.
All right.
Well, I guess that means you get the legendary merfolk.
I guess I do. Tishana, Voice of Thunder.
Thunder.
I don't know why that was my first instinct. But for 5 generic...
I just jumped on it first.
I know. You also have a deeper voice to it. Thunder. Because it doesn't sound
right
when I do it.
It doesn't work very well.
What?
I said, unless I'm laughing, then it doesn't work very well.
So, for 5 generic, a green and a blue. Tishana, Voice of Thunders, power and toughness are equal to the number of cards in your hand. You have no maximum hand size. When Tishana enters the battlefield, draw a card for each creature you control.
This is a weird deck that you're building for this.
So the whole thing is you don't want to use your cards?
No, it's
or
more
can
of you
it
want
change?
To you want to draw your entire deck.
Yeah. But it seems like, so correct me if I'm wrong, but it looks like the power and toughness will change based on your hand size.
I mean, that's what her first ability literally says.
Yes.
So.
But no, throughout the game, like
yes.
it's going to
so
be a
that's
okay.
what if anything ever has a power or toughness of star, that means that it is a characteristic defining ability. That means it is basically its power and toughness, no matter where it is at any given point, is equal to the number of cards in your hand. So if you have 4 cards in your hand,
this is
in your graveyard, in your library, in your hand, anywhere, it has 4 power and 4 toughness.
Okay, that's what I was like making sure I understood.
That's the difference between star-star or anything that ever has XX for power or toughness. Or why.
Because you have to pay something to get to it.
Not necessarily because you have to pay something, but it's more of if it is X, then the game track, when it is not actively on the battlefield and that characteristic is not defined, it's tracked as 0. This thing, no matter where it is considered to have that power and toughness. If something were to make you, like, search your library for a creature with power less than or greater to greater than whatever, then this would show up as whatever power the star should be, not zero.
Got it.
It's a corner case, but it's a wide corner case.
Got it. Do you want to take the last legendary...
Or
the last creature? Or no, because she's not legendary.
She's not legendary, she's just a creature. So
And I know how you feel about
pirates.
It's
the most generic name, too.
Hostage taker.
Just hostage taker.
Literally, you could have given this person a cooler name.
I mean, maybe. What does it do?
When hostage taker enters the battlefield, exile target creature or artifact until hostage taker leaves the battlefield. You may cast that card for as long as it remains exiled, and you may spend mana as though it were mana of any type to cast that spell.
So basically you... Hang on. What happens when you cast? Okay, I have concerns. So normally these would define... Hang on. This is weirdly formatted.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't... This is formatted the same way that, like, O-Ring and the Broken Priest, whose name I'm forgetting, were, in that it can create a weird situation. As it stands now, whenever they write this sort of formatting, they usually specify what happens when something like Hostage Taker leaves the battlefield as well, because then the thing doesn't get stuck in some sort of awful infinite loop or get banished forever.
Well, I mean...
Well, additionally, this is also strange because it says, you may cast that card for as long as it remains exiled. You may spend mana of any... as though it were mana of any color to cast that spell. It doesn't define what happens when you cast that spell, though. Are you casting...
You cast it as normal?
Well, no, you can't because it's in exile. Does it go to your graveyard? Does it go to their graveyard? Does it stay in exile? Can you just keep casting it forever? I have concerns. There are a lot of things this... There's a lot of things this card doesn't say, but then again, we haven't seen the FAQ yet, so I'm willing to bet there will be a section
Someone
dedicated
is gonna
to,
ask about it.
Oh god, Hostage Taker is written terribly.
It's very confusing.
Yeah, I feel like this is probably going to be one of those things where, before we do anything, I'm going to have to go look up the gatherer rulings for this once they're in. So hopefully we'll be able to do that next week, but...
Maybe.
You might notice that there's some things we didn't talk about. That's either because they aren't in the card image gallery yet, or because we just don't want to, because we're going to delay talking about Jace as long as possible, because, hey, he's not dead!
Which surprises me.
It doesn't really surprise me, but...
They can't kill him.
Well, they can, but he's sort of the face of the... They tried to make him the face of the game, except for those years where they went... Well, maybe we should make Chandra the face of the game, because she's has a character and isn't just a walking Deus Ex Machina with who is now trying to be some sort of Harlequin romance pirate.
What do you think, Mini Chandra? What have you got to say about this?
I'm pretty sure her response to pretty much everything is, can I set it on fire? If not, I don't care.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Mini Chandra
somehow
goes back
Jace
to the bookshelf.
Is here, apparently.
Not dead. He's cast away.
Yeah, he's cast away. He didn't immediately leave, so maybe he can't leave. He's still a planeswalker. Hey, by the way, there's that whole change to the planeswalker rule. I'm trying to figure out a way to effectively say, I think this powerfully doesn't matter. The fact that they're just like, the planeswalker uniqueness rule was dumb. We're not going to continue with it. Because...
I give absolutely zero flying farts in the face about it.
Do you remember what the Planeswalker uniqueness rule was?
Is it something about how you can only have one Planeswalker like that? Or
one
copy
like,
of this?
One Jace Planeswalker.
Yeah.
Yeah. So instead now it's just, you can have two Jace Planeswalkers out provided they're two different cards. They basically just went, hey, so you know the legend rule where it's just, you can't have two legendaries of the same name out? Yeah, it's just that now.
Yeah.
Because that makes so much more sense and isn't creating an entire Planeswalker uniqueness rule that is like the legend rule and is literally based off of it, but doesn't quite work like it. And look, I know that I'm the flavor and lore guy, but I long ago accepted that I don't think we're summoning a legendary creature whenever we do that. I'm pretty sure we're actually just summoning, like, the image that we remember of it. In the same way that we're not... Just because we summon a Jace doesn't mean he can do anything that Jace could ever do. We're summoning... are, like, specific memory of Jace at a specific time, and he has those locked abilities that we knew he could do at that point. So you just summon, basically, your memories of Jace from different times. It makes more sense from a Blue Mage perspective, where your whole thing is stupid, annoying mind magic, but That's sort of the way that a lot of magic is sort of set up to work, is that you're not summoning every time you go, I need this creature that's from Dominaria. You're not, like, popping over to Dominaria, grabbing it, and dragging it over.
No, you're
have a connection with it and are able to basically summon an image of it. Because if it dies when you summon it, it doesn't die back in Dominaria, because it's not a real thing. It's a creation that you've made entirely out of, effectively, energy.
Thought.
Yeah, energy, thought, well, energy given shape by thought, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm fine with, it's the same reason as, yeah, you can have a red Achroma and a white Achroma out at the same time. You just apparently have some sort of issue with knowing that this is a very distinct person, and I have an issue trying to concentrate on having two of this distinct person existing at once. So you can't have two Achromas, I guess. That's, like, two white Achromas, sorry.
Yeah.
For example. But you knew red Achroma and white Achroma because they were very, very different people.
Yeah.
Or, like, Olivia and then the new Olivia, who's from, like, 8 years later. They're very, very different people because of the experience they've had.
Yeah.
So it's easier for you to reconcile them being two different, like, summonable stuff.
Mm-hmm. Instead of being able to, like, copy it and be like, I want the same of you.
Yeah. Then you're just like, wait, I knew this person. There's not supposed to be two of them. And that just makes one of them go, oh, shit. Boop! And just go away. Or, if we're using the old legendary rule, they all explode. Including the ones on your opponent's side.
Oh God,
we're just like, why are there three of us? Oh, God! The legend rule has been changed so many times, and it's always been silly. Like, the original way that the legend rule worked, if I recall correctly, was basically, if you have two of the same legend out on battlefield, they both just go away. Then it changed into, you look at the legends, and whichever one was there first gets to stay. And then it was whichever one was the new one got to stay, because that's why you would play Baby
that's
Jace to kill Jace the Mind Sculptor, because your opponent would have Jace the Mind Sculptor out, and you'd go, well, I can play Baby Jace for one less and destroy yours. And then they changed over to the new way that your two battlefields do not interact. You can both have Olivia Voldaren, you just can't both have two Olivia Voldaren. And just
so the superior Olivia Voldaren somehow makes it out?
In the current ruling for legendary rule is actually whoever creates the or whoever controls the two interfering legends picks which one they want to keep.
Huh. Okay.
So like if you play Olivia and you or sorry, if you have an Olivia out and you play another one, you choose do I want to keep the new one or the old one?
Okay.
It usually doesn't matter, but I'm sure there are corner cases where it matters.
Fair enough.
But I think with that we are probably just about ready to head out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, please remember to, well, I mean, if you're watching this on YouTube, comment, subscribe, all those things that we'll always ask. Hey, check out the YouTube.
Watch the things
because
we're
putting out a bunch of our VODs again, as well as these videos. If you want to see all the stuff we do, you can go over to our website at lairoflore.com, where you can see literally everything that we do. We are running a 365-day streaming challenge, which means you can find our streams every day over at twitch.tv/lairoflore. If you like what we do and want to help us keep doing that, you can throw bits in our face on Twitch, subscribe to us on Twitch. You can support us on Patreon and get access to stuff like the Derpy Puppy Feed because we have two very silly, dumb dogs. And
they're
Haley,
adorable.
Haley very much enjoys posting the pictures of them being absolute idiots. You can get access to the extra bits, which is the stuff before and after this show and the Ladies of Lore. You can get access to... there's like three tiers. You should go check them out because there's a lot of little minutia things.
I'd like
but
to
they,
say...
They top out...
Pay on the Gourmand level.
Yeah, they top out at the Gourmand things. Level, where we will actually mail you the stuff that we make on our once weekly cooking podcast. Or not podcast, streams. at the end of the month that you... Basically, so you support us for September. At the end of September, we send out a package to you with a little bit of everything that we've made throughout the month.
And we make delicious things.
Yes.
The delicious, delicious things.
So,
and I say that because we literally recorded today.
Yes. So, please consider checking out any of that. And we'll see you next time for more of the Lair of Lore with more Ixalan, because we are hyped for Ixalan.
Ixalan's going to be great.
Thank you all very much.
See you next time.
Bye.